left Krishna and went to the ground. So that means we, our senses, they keep Krishna in our backside, put in our backside, and then we turn ourselves other way around and start going in the sense objects to find some material pleasure, and as a result we get entangled in this material mood and this maya. And the most serious thing about this whole incident is that actually the jiva is suffering from threefold misery, but he sees that he is enjoying. This is the main serious thing. He doesn't understand that this pleasure is actually and will end up in so much misery and so much suffering, but still he keeps on enjoying and all that. And he doesn't even call out for help to Krishna. If he does that, O Krishna, you please save me, immediately Krishna will come and two things will be awarded. Not just he will be rescued from this forest fire, but also he will get service of lotus feet of Krishna. Two things to know. But it's unfortunate on the part of the living entity that he doesn't cry for help. Because unless we cry for help, unless we ask, nobody will come and help us. So as we see in the case of this cowherd boys and these cows, when they called Krishna for help, and Krishna came, and immediately after that, what they saw? They were back in Vandirvat and they are sitting with Krishna and they are eating and there is nothing in heaven, it was just like a dream. So similarly, if we call out for Krishna in the form of his name and we perform single pointed devotion to the lotus feet of Krishna, then we'll see that when did we cross this material ocean, these miseries, and when did we are in Lola Vrindavan, will not even know. It will be just like a dream happening to us. So all is needed is that we should call out for Krishna to help us and to lift us out from this blazing fire of material existence. Now how does this forest fire take place? Nobody lit this fire. Just the trees among themselves, they scratch each other or crush each other, and then this spark, they come out, fire, and the whole fire takes place. Similarly, we are suffering, but this suffering is because of our reaction of our karmas. We are performing so much karmas, so their reaction itself is the cause of the suffering. But we point out to the person, he is the cause, he is the cause, he is the cause. It is not our own deeds are the cause of our suffering. So this is like this. So that is why we should chant Krishna's name, because name is non-different from Krishna, and also singly pointed devotion. Then Maharaj compared, he was starting speaking on this Venu Geet, and he compared this Venu Geet is represents the Purva Rag of the Gopis. And we sadhakas who have not yet had any meeting with Krishna and we are aspiring for that same thing, so our position is also similar to the Purva Rag of the Gopis. And how Gurudev, he tells us the all the signs that how we can, by following in the footsteps of our acharyas and the instructions given to us, we can also become Krishna conscious. How does it start? It starts when Sri Gurudev, he puts this Bhaktilata beat in our heart, desire to serve Krishna. And then gradually this desire fructifies. What Gurudev does next? He tells us about the beauty of Krishna. He tells us, Varaha Piram Natvar Bapu. And then he tells, Krishna is so beautiful. What is the position of Gurudev here? Position of Gurudev here is like a priest who arranges marriages. So he will go to girl and he will tell the beauty and all the good qualities of the boy. And naturally the girl will develop faith or affection for the boy. And similarly he will go to boy and tell about the qualities of the girl, and they will develop attachment and affection for each other. Similarly, here Gurudev, he is like a mediator between the living entity, between us and Krishna, and is telling us, oh, he is so beautiful, like a rain cloud, this cloud about to shower rain, like blackish, it's not complete blackish, and sort of bluish also, and very dense, very thick, like that. Krishna's whole body and complexion is like that. And then he has this pitambar around his whole neck and hands, and then he compares that with just like when the clouds are there, and in between sometimes the lightning is there. He says, in this case, this lightning doesn't stay for all time. It will come for a moment and disappear, come for a moment and disappear. But in the case of Krishna, his pitambar, which is compared to the lightning in the clouds, stays all the time around him. So such a matchless beauty of Krishna is described by Krishna. And then he says that it is not an imagination, but sometimes we are said that if we are told of some qualities and descriptions of some character, then we can picturize that in our mind. In this case, when we try to picturize Krishna, a threefold bending form, holding a flute, you may say that is imagination, but it is not imagination, because that form already exists eternally. So you have to start thinking of this form in your heart and mind, on the description. Oh yes, he is this color, he is wearing this pitambar, his eyes are like that, he is holding, because nobody else in the world holds flute except Krishna. So this form is very much bona fide, authentic and accurate. So we should do that on the instructions of Guru. And then he was going to speak that later on, that actually comparing Krishna's beauty and this pitambar with this cloud and lightning example is not a very good comparison. But because for us there is nothing as good as this, so we can try to compare this to Krishna's beauty. But actually it's not like that. Now, Sukadeva Goswami is telling this verse, but he is actually seeing this beauty of Krishna. He is witnessing the wonderful form of Krishna, and he is telling that to Krishna. But those who don't have this realization, who doesn't have not seen this form, how can they understand it? So unless you experience it, unless you witness it, it will not be fully understood by you. And we cannot relish it fully unless we see it. So we have to aspire for that. After hearing, we develop greed and attraction, and gradually, when we do sadhana, we can know this also. So the definition of purvarag becomes, before meeting the intense feelings which we have for our beloved, so much enthusiasm, feelings, and greed, etc. All these things is purvarag. Or feelings before meeting, called purva. But it's very wonderful case in the case of gopis, because they are never separated from Krishna. They are always with Krishna. It's nitya milan. But still, whenever they see Krishna next time, they feel we're seeing him for the first time. They have this purva. So this is a very wonderful thing. And sadhak in this world, he hears about all this, and he comes to know about all this from Gurudev, who tells him on the basis of Bhagavad. And if one is very fortunate, then he can also come in touch with this parampara and can hear from this literature by our Goswami, by Rupa Goswami. And then whatever effort which we do will be authentic, will be accurate, and will fructify definitely. Otherwise, people are trying to imagine so many things, but that is bogus. But when you are here, then you are always imagination in the beginning, but later on it will become concrete. So that's different when you come here in this parampara. Now in this, all this probably, how many shlokas are there in Venugita?
20.
So in all these shlokas of Venugita, nowhere something like Bansuri or Murali has come. In all the verses, Venu has been referred. Venu. This is a specialty, one thing. So, they are saying again and again in all the verses, Venu, 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 Venu. Because they are frustrated from this Venu. But then why are they saying Venu, Venu, Venu? They should not chant this Venu, Venu, they are so much frustrated. Just like in Brahma Gita, Srimati Ji is saying to Uddhava, this town is like this, this town is like that, and all the syntax is saying about Shyam. But then he says the word chanting Shyam, you forget his Harikatha. But he says, I can't stop that. So actually, there is also so much affection and attachment for that horse. That's why she can't resist speaking that. But outwardly and apparently, she's so much against this thing. This is what is happening. So, we should have this kind of feelings in our heart also, this kind of intense desire. We should have, just like this gopis have. And that's what Mahaprabhu depicted in his pastime of Gambhira Lila. That's what he shows. How much desperate we should become to meet Krishna after hearing this beautiful form and all this beautiful pastime. That's what is showed there. Okay, we cannot become that desperate as Mahaprabhu showed us. But at least when we try, we can become little bit. That will be very enough for us, too much for us. So how can we develop this desperateness? How can we become so desperate to meet Krishna? Only by hearing Harikatha. Harikatha is the only means. By hearing Harikatha and with the same mood what we hear chanting his name and then also meditating on the form and all the pastimes of Krishna. This is how we can increase our mamata, affection, a thick affection for Krishna can develop. But first it will manifest for Gurudev and Vaishnava. And how it will be like? Just like we have in our family. The father is attached to the children, the mother is attached to the father, and everybody among each other, they are very much attached. But they don't feel this. I mean, because they're staying together for so many years, they don't feel that. But as soon as somebody goes out for something, oh, my son is not come, oh, father, wife, so they start remembering each other. Similarly, we in the mutt also have so much affection with each other because we're staying together. But we don't realize it because we're staying together. But as soon as one brahmachari or somebody goes out, then, oh, where is gone, where is gone? He's not come for prasadam, or he's become annoyed, then who is become annoyed? Then we also, our mind gets disturbed. So this is all symptom of mamta. We have it for this. This has to be increased, this has to be grown. This should become more thick, more thick, more thick. And then this is what is turning respectively from the stage of Shraddha, Nishtha, Asakti, Ruchi, and in Bhava platform, and later on from Prem, the Man, Pranayama, etc., and so on. This is what. This mamata, this affection, this thick affection is called bhakti. So in other words, bhakti is thick affection for Guru and Vaishnava or for Krishna. So these gopis, they are all different gopis. All the sakis, they also have the different groups, and then so many other sakis, and this from Suhridipaksha, from the well-wishing group, and then Swapas, who are from their own group, and the Vipas, who are from the opposite group. All are sitting in their own houses, in their own homes, and they are discussing among themselves about the souls in deep. So, how is this happening? Krishna has left for Gotam, is going out on cow grazing. So then they're still watching him. They're seeing he's going and they're accompanying him. And then he goes in the forest and they keep watching him till he disappears from life. In fact, that he's going and the sand is there and that completely goes off, then they come back. But they don't come back. They are called back. They don't want to come. Why? Because most of the gopis, they have their marriage for their husbands and their in-laws, their mother-in-laws and father-in-laws, and they are after them, so they show them back. You come back, so you bring them back. So when they come home, then they start discussing with each other, and in their heart, in their feelings, they start seeing Krishna is going in those times. Now they are in home and they are seeing in their feelings and heart, in bhava-vastha. And they think Krishna is going from one forest to another forest, and when he goes from one forest to another forest, how that forest welcomes Krishna, all the grass, all the trees, plants, and all the animals become so jubilant, and they are ready to offer themselves in the lotus feet of Krishna. And it's wonderful thing. Who is speaking this? Sukadev Goswami is speaking this to Parikshit Maharaj. But actually, he is saying what gopis are seeing in their heart for Krishna. So a shadow of that or a reflection of gopis feeling is coming on Sukadeva Goswami. So he's speaking that in this verse. How this, all this nature, it welcomes Krishna when Krishna comes. All the trees, they're ready to shower their flowers. all the plants, they're ready to offer their flowers like that. All this nature is becoming so happy, so glad, so jubilant that Krishna is coming there. So they are seeing each and every single object as more exalted than them, more advanced than them. All this will be the same like that. And then they sing the first verse. And in this verse they sing, only those eyes are successful if they see Krishna and Baladev. They are going and Krishna is playing flute and Baladev is also accompanying him. So this is like the first definition, first version of this sloka, first understanding of this sloka. He's saying only those eyes are perfect who witness this beautiful scene. Then he says, but those eyes are even more successful and perfect, those who witness that Baladev is going ahead of Krishna and Krishna is going behind Baladev. So those eyes are even more. Then again, a more deeper meaning, they say that those eyes are really perfect eyes who witness that actually Krishna is going and Srimati Radhika is here and they are going through playing through each other. Krishna is like floating on the lips of Krishna and Srimati Radhika is playing and like that one another. They're doing. This is the perfect. So these eyes are the best eyes who witness this one.
So Radhika is there?
Yes. So then, Sukadeva Swami here is saying that this matchless beauty, this wonderful scene, this is so madhurya there, so much relishment, I am unable to express this. How shall I express this? It's just impossible for me. So still he's saying. So a big assembly is arranged in front of Gopeshwar Mahadev near Jamuna, and then all the great personalities are present there, and then two Natwar group. Natwar means those people who perform dances, just like this person has come that day, he's nut. So what do you call him? Yeah. So, but it's like very different. Here it's not unique, but I guess it's dancer, yes, sort of dancer we can say, but dancer is also not the exact translation. We have to really do some hard work to get the proper translation. So he's not one. So Krishna and Baladev, they are in the form of this two natvars, and they come in an assembly, and they, one is of very golden complexion, another is of a blackish complexion, and they steal everybody's heart. Everybody's heart. And they're dancing so nicely, and how in a very intoxicated manner they have dressed themselves. What they have done? They have taken this new leaf which has come on this mango tree. They are reddish in color and they have made a curl of them and put in one of these and sometimes they put here and sometimes they put here. And they are so much in a funny way. They are moving around because they are in their full youth form. But they are reflecting everybody's heart and mind. And then they go a little forward and they take this stick of feathers lying on the ground, they take it. And it's not a crown made of that, but they just put it for them. So it becomes more natural, it becomes more beautiful. So, and then later on they have this Vaidanti Mala, seven flowers, unmatchable, nothing like that. So all this beautiful dressing they are wearing and they are feeling everybody's heart by the different intoxicating gestures and features, etc., etc., like that. But you see, they look beautiful in all different dresses and forms they do. Whatever they wear, they will look beautiful. Because you see, when Krishna is going, then the cow pants from the low, cows are moving and from the hoof so much sand is coming, dust is coming. So this dust falls on his hair, he becomes so beautiful. And then, see, sometimes we have somebody's a girl or a boy with very, very fair complexion, very fair complexion. And then he has a small blackish dot there. So it becomes so beautiful. It doesn't look bad. You can't tell some of the gopis, they would Krishna even in Nandanandan form. Here it is in Gopal form. But even in Nandanandan form is here, gopis will go and they put one dot. And it looks even more beautiful. Like that beauty in Krishna. So they are Bhushanam Bhushanam. Means they are ornaments for the ornaments also. It's not like when these ornaments are put into Krishna and Krishna becomes beautiful, but this ornament need to get increased and they are on the body of Krishna. Krishna is so beautiful. And on top of that, they are playing this flute. And this flute, the way he's playing this, we can't explain. And gopis are watching this. And gopis are becoming so much envious of this thing and they're saying to people, see this. He is so cruel. He is Purush. He is man. And there he is on the list of Krishna. This place meant for us and our all treasure and property. We are the proprietor. We are the single proprietor of this property. And this cruel person is taking our all property. What is taking? He's taking the nectar from the lotus lips of Krishna, taking all this nectar, which is simply meant for us. Nobody should take it, and he's taking it. And he doesn't have even a little bit mercy on us, that he may leave a little bit for us, but it's not taking it. So like that, the gopis are discussing this. And now, they become, the man comes to man, man. So they become a little bit annoyed. This person says, they become annoyed from this brain, how this is happening. But here, then they start praying. What they're praying? They're saying, oh, this Venu is very fortunate. Because this Venu is on the left of Krishna. And what they're seeing, that they're praising this Venu. They're thinking that this Venu is doing such a great service to Krishna. That even we cannot do this service to Krishna. So here, this is symptoms of Mahabhava. In the sense, that whether a living thing or non-living thing, they are saying that everything is so much exalted than them. So they feel themselves to be so much, fully lower, so much down. Inferior, yes, inferior. They feel inferior. So this is symptoms of Mahabhava. Now, why we among our God brothers, we respect each other? Why? We see Vaishnavas respecting each other, God brothers, we pronounce each other. Why we do that? What's the reason behind it? Why? Because I see, oh, he is doing so much service to Gurudev. I cannot do even general life service, but service I cannot do to my Gurudev people. So, seeing this so much service mood in them, he naturally goes on to him. This is the secret thing. But who will feel that? Only one who himself is doing so much service will become pure. So, he starts seeing all others are even more, because he will become humble. So, he will do service to that nobody else is doing that much service. But when he sees others, he is seeing that everybody else is doing more service. So this is why we respect each other. So this mood starts developing from here only, among ourselves. This mood will start. And then gradually, this mood, this gopis are having this Mahabhava mood, seeing everything more higher, superior to them. Superior to them in the sense that they are more near to Krishna and giving more service to Krishna, and they are feeling themselves inferior. So, developing this humility will begin right here in this stage among ourselves only. This mood will develop from there. And then they are saying that all his family, his all his dynasty, this Venu's dynasty. What is Venu's dynasty? This Venu is a bamboo tree. And then they have their elder brothers. Who are their elder brothers? These mango trees and burger trees. They are their elder brothers. And who are younger brothers? These other keepers and others. They are younger. And everybody is so proud. See, we have this son from our family. And he is right in the list of Krishna. He made us the dynasty glorified. So much like that. And then all the gopis, they see this Venu from Krishna. And then Krishna is saying, oh, please give me this Venu. This Venu is my life. You can take my life, but give me this. Because if you don't give me this Venu, then how can I call my cow? And how can I live without this? Because my life and soul is this Venu. And it's falling on their feet and it's crying like this. Nanda Baba and had like they were five brothers. Nand Baba was in the middle, two elder brothers and two younger brothers. Similarly, not in the case of Venu. Venu has unlimited brothers. All this, they have so many brothers who are elder to this Venu and so many brothers who are younger. And all of them today, seeing this Venu in the lips of Krishna, they're becoming so happy and so proud. And what to say of the dynasty of this bamboo tree itself? He's like, he's feeling so great, this Venu. Just like we have in our Arya dynasty, the gopis are quoting this, just like in the Arya dynasty, we feel great. If somebody has become a devotee from family, so his forefathers and coming generations, they feel so good. Yes, one, just like Prahlad Maharaj, he became devotee and whole dynasty, they become so glorified. Similarly, this bamboo, this Venu has glorified all the dynasty of their elder brothers, younger brothers and everybody. And then this Kadamba tree, it becomes so happy. It starts giving off its
honey?
Yeah, honey. It starts giving the honey off like that. It's called Raski Dhara. It starts giving that to Krishna. And this mango tree, they start giving these manjaris out because they become so happy on this sun. They become so successful, they're doing so much service to Krishna. And especially there's one tree. This tree is called Harishringar tree. Harishringar tree. This Harishringar tree specialty is this, that it is always full of flowers, always full of flowers. And what is the specialty? When Krishna comes, then he gives all his flowers to Krishna. And especially it happens during night time, all the flowers are growing, blossoming up and up and more. And during this Nishantalila time, when the stars are now gradually disappearing, and the sun is about to come, before that time, Nishantalila time especially, it means now the night is about to finish. That time it starts giving off its flowers. And when it fully gives up the flowers, then we should understand, day has come, night has come. So this is Harishringar tree. And it covers all the flowers in Krishna when Krishna comes in. I am restricting within limits of what I have heard. I don't have my personal realization, safety check. So, everybody else, means all this, whosoever is present in that spot and the scene, they are feeling so happy and so jubilant, except one, who? These gopis. These gopis are not at all happy. And they are frustrated and they are so much unsatisfied and disturbed. But I said we, because we are tathasta, we are standing on a marginal position, so we know that actually gopis are having extreme enjoyment. They are the most happy. Nobody is as much happy and satisfied as gopis are. And the gopis are saying, what kind of tapasya this Venu has done? What charity it has performed? What was its charity? And for how long it performed in the previous verse? And they want to perform that of charity, because then we may become Venu and we serve Krishna. So then they're inquiring what kind of charity is. So this charity has been mentioned in our Goswami list, okay? And we are being told daily by our Gurudev what charity you should perform to get this Gurudev. So we should be enthusiastic and greedy to perform this austerity and to know more about this austerity. And what are the sources? Bhakti Samrit, Hindu Chaitanya Samrit, Ujjwal Nimmani, etc. etc. All these sources. So these are like the treasure houses where description and all the information is given, whereby you can achieve that transcendental position. And who has the key? It's locked. Gurudev, Rasik Vaishnavas, they have the key. So we have to go to them. Because this Venu is also in the lotus, it's at the lotus feet of Krishna, but this is due to the mercy of gopis only. Because some other gopis are walking and it must have got their foot dust and then turned in the form of this Venu, this bamboo stick, now ultimately the lips of Krishna. So this is by mercy of gopis, like that. And then this gopis are discussing with each other and they're saying, oh, today Vrindavan is so beautiful, it's so much beauty is there that the whole earth planet is being beautified by this Vrindavan only. Today this earth planet is feeling so happy and so satisfied just because Vrindavan is here. And why we say Mathura is so great? Because Vrindavan is in Mathura. If Vrindavan we take out from Mathura, then Mathura is maybe. And why we say this earth planet is good? Because Mathura is here in earth planet. When we take it out, then then this earth planet is useless because Mathura is not there. And then if we take out Vanchivat from Vrindavan, then no rasa, what kind of Vrindavan it is? No Vrindavan. So Vanchivat is a heart and soul of Vrindavan. And then from this 84 sphere miles of area, we take out Govardhan, then no use. And then from Govardhan we take out Radha Kumar Sham, then no use. So all of them, they fulfill each other's purpose. Reason for that, the reason is that Krishna is moving around in different parts of the Vrindavan, and then all the signs which Krishna has on his lotus face, there are 19 different signs, and sadhakas are advised to meditate on these signs, especially this. It has this thunderbolt, it has a lotus flower, it has a trident, ankush, that thing to drive this elephant.
Stick,
that is there. And like this, 19 are there. And sadhakas and a kalash is there. So sadhakas are always advised to meditate on this sign of Krishna. So all the gopis are saying that all these signs are everywhere around all the place in Vrindavan. So this Vrindavan is looking so beautiful. Where else we can find this thing? Is it possible anywhere? No, only in Vrindavan. And then they're saying this peacocks, they are so fortunate. These peacocks, because they can see, they can have darshans of Krishna without any obstacles and without any problems. There's no hurdles to their darshans and the face of Krishna. So this mayurs, these peacocks are so beautiful, so fortunate. And then all these trees down in this valley of Govardhan, these kadamba trees, these mango trees, and all other trees, the bargat trees, they are feeling so happy when Krishna comes to them. So they are seeing fortune of all the things present in Vrindavan. Gopis, their vision is they are seeing everything as fortunate and exalted than that. And then as soon as Krishna enters in this forest of mango and kadamba trees, this peacock, they see Krishna. And they see as if these clouds have come and they start dancing. And they become mad in dancing. And then Krishna sees them dancing and he also becomes so much happy. He starts playing his flute. And now when this peacock, they hear the flute, and now it's become uncontrolled and they start dancing in the best of their times they can. And then Krishna sees their dance and then he plays on the fifth note and then on the seventh note. And all the different plays, he plays all different tunes and lyrics he plays, and all these peacocks, they become just like that. All very happy. And gopis are watching this. Gopis are witnessing this thing. And this quail, this cuckoo bird, and she speaks very sweetly. Every time, because her neck is unnatural, but now when she sees this peacock dancing so nicely, she can't dance, so she keeps quiet. And she sees what's happening, how they dance. But she can't dance well, she can only sing. But today, her voice is completely, she's just watching this thin drop silence, and everybody's watching, and Krishna's flute and this peacock. Everybody loves it. And also all other birds, parrot, chook, sari, everyone is trying what's happening. This wonderful, amazing thing is here. And then they are dancing and the climax is there, and this peacock, he gives most beautiful feathers, he drops down to Krishna. And this feather has 7 different colors. It's unique, there's no feather like this. And Krishna, he picks up that. He feels that it is like gift from this peacock. Because generally in Braja we have this culture. Just like that day we had this same, he performed dance and then he gave a necklace to Maharaj, or gave a ring to Maharaj. So they do when they dance. So this peacock, he was dancing and he gave a gift to Krishna because he was so pleased. And Krishna respected, honored that. He took and put it on his head like that. So these gopis are continuously praying for each. First they want to become Venu. Then they say, we can become this tree. Then they say, we can become this peacock. Then they say, okay, if we are not even that fortunate, then we may become Shukshari. We may become something here. They're playing like that. Praying like that. Because they're taking verses of Krishna, and there's no upskill, there's no hurdle in that. And then especially they praise this deer, this sea deer, she's coming for darshan of Krishna, and her husband is coming behind her and is saying, You go and take dashes of Krishna, no problem, I see. The whole world may become a dish. Then I am favorable to you, you just go and take dashes of Krishna. So she is going and taking dashes of Krishna, and Krishna's beauty and flute, when she hears, she thinks that now I should surrender my heart and soul to Krishna like that. So these gopis are saying, they are so fortunate. They don't have like their mother-in-laws who are forbidding them, or their father-in-laws, or their sister-in-laws, and everybody else. There is no one to stop them. And they're having this beautiful darshan of Krishna. But gopis, they have, you see, we are so unfortunate. Because as soon as we go for darshan of Krishna, and then our mother-in-law will come. Where are you going? And then so much questions we have to answer. And then if we somehow or another skip them, then our sister-in-law will just appear from some corner. And then somehow or another if we skip them, then we have this sons of our sister-in-law and our what you call Jethani. Jethani is his husband's brother's wife. Husband, brother's wife. What you call this relation? Sister-in-law. And his husband's sister is also sister. We don't do something. We have different.
Yeah.
Anyway, so because differences are more rasa. If he skips one, the other one comes like that. It happens. So they're saying these heels are, these deers are fortunate because they don't have anybody like this stopping them. So they're saying he's animal, this deer is animal, he doesn't have any right in service of Krishna. But still he's here, still this deer is here. So he's been said as mudha. Mudha means moot, foolish person. So they say, although the animal is foolish completely, he doesn't have any right to come in the service of Krishna. We don't allow animals to come. But this animal is there in taking refuge of Krishna. So I may become this deer. So they even desiring to become deer. And they're glorifying the position and fortune of this deer. And they're saying because the husbands are also favorable and even they're aspiring, so they can't bear all these things because they are completely deprived of all these facilities which these other creatures are having in Vrindavan in order to take darshan of Krishna. And they're saying, and there's no one like Hiranyakashipu and Harinath, nobody is there to bother them. And we have millions of Hiranyakashipus and Harinaths who don't want, who don't let us meet with Krishna. So these deers are even more fortunate. Guru Primamile Hari Hari Po.
Translation evening class 28/8/96.
Shokan Vinuhit and he started that his food rag is the description of the food rag of gopis, the mood which they have for Krishna. All this thing has been described in this Venugis, in the full rag. These are the symptoms of full rag. So, as sadhakas, we should also very seriously and minutely analyze all these things because this is the purpose of Hari Leela. When Krishna depicts his pastime in this world, then it is only for those rare souls who are desirous to do some bhajan, who want to enter in this pastime. These leelas are only meant for these people. So we should become very serious and try to understand how these gopis are expressing this mood for Krishna, this desperateness to meet Krishna. This we have to develop in our heart. And we may see that, oh, it is like to come to this standard of gopis, is very difficult. It is so difficult to come there. But at least we can make a goal. It's like one is student and he may think, and when he's studying in the preliminary classes, he may say, now when I become graduate, then I'm going to go in civil services or in administrative services. So the goal is very high. But he has decided, he has said, he's selected something. So we, by hearing from Shiksha Guru and Diksha Guru, and from all this literature and this shravan, the hearing, whatever Harikatha we are hearing, we at least should fix up that this is my goal and then I should aspire for it and strive for this. Bhagavat tells of all different goals for all different living entities. The goals are varying. Just like there's so many things displayed on one shop, and customers, according to their selection, they can take whatever they want. Similarly, Bhagavad has arrangement for everybody, for all kind of people. But it talks about Sakam Bhakti also, it talks about Nishkam Bhakti also, and it talks about Nirgun Bhakti also, and is also talking about Braj Bhakti. But the secret is that in a hidden way, it is just pointing for the Braj Bhakti. And also in Braj Rasa we have the five different rasas, we have that also. So, but we have to make a goal. By seeing the example of gopis, we should single-pointedly understand that this is my mood with Krishna. And then according to our adhikar, according to our qualification and eligibility, will gradually rise up to that standard. Just like we see in the case of Brajanath and Vijay Kumar in their dharma. They are going to one guru and they are hearing the same Harikatha. But this one of them, they have their, he sees guru as Sridham, Subal. He sees guru as Subal Sakha, and this other, he sees guru as Lalita Sakhi. So that means each and every living entity has a fixed Svarupa, its original constitutional position. And guru is very expert in locating what are the symptoms. For him it's not difficult to find out what is the constitutional position of a living entity. He sees that just like a patient goes to doctor, and just by seeing the face, if so much water coming from the nose, if running nose, and then some headache, then he can understand, yes, he got some cold, and he will give him according medicine for that disease only. Similarly, guru understands, and then he will tell Harikatha of the same state. And then gradually, he'll focus all his Harikatha towards that liking of the disciple and that constitutional position which he has according to his Svarupa, and he will develop it up like that. And then later on, all the stages to come, our thoughts will be directed in the same line. We'll get association of same devotees, we'll get guru of the same taste, same mood, and we'll get the same institution. All these things will be arranged by Krishna himself by seeing our intensity of our desire. Not just Krishna, also his associates also work for this, also make this all arrangement for us. And now gopis are saying, all these things which gopis are seeing, which they are visualizing in their bhavanetra by the eyes of their bhava, not the desire. Whatever they are seeing, immovable, movable, all creatures, living entities, etc., everything, these are all anubhav of whatever they are feeling for Krishna. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita also, definition of love has been described. Definition of prema. What is prema? What is the symptom? The symptom is, as these gopis are showing, they are feeling that we don't have even a tinge of love, we don't have even fragrance of love for Krishna. Although they are having the same love, they can be manifested for possible for any living entity. But still they are thinking that we don't have even tinge of love. So if anybody claims that now I have become Krishna conscious, I have become a guru, I have become a Vaishnava, oh, I also see dreams of Krishna, I talk with Krishna in the dreams and the gopis, etc., then take it for granted that he is not understood or he has not become a little bit Krishna conscious at all. Because what this Brahmaji is saying, he's saying that with his forehead and eight eyes and ears, he's always trying to meditate on Krishna's form, Krishna's pastime, etc., etc., and he's saying that I'm unable to understand even little bit about Krishna. So what we can say about us? So anybody who claims like that means we should understand that he's not even become a little bit Krishna conscious. And then, what to say of Brahma? Mahaprabhuji is saying, what does Mahaprabhuji is saying? Mahaprabhuji is saying
recited a shloka, which means that he's saying, my life is useless. I've wasted my life completely. Because if I had that love for Krishna, then I would not be bearing this separation from Krishna. I would have died by now. I would have left my body. Just like the fish. As soon as you take this fish out of water, simply dies. It's not an artificial symptom, or fish is not making show of that she loves water. But it's natural, because she's part of that water. It's part of that. Similarly, Mahaprabhu is, for himself, is thinking that he doesn't have prema at all. So what to say of we? We may think so many things are hard. So, anytime does we feel like that oh, my life is wasted because I am away from Krishna, I have not taken his darshan, anytime this thought comes to our mind or not? No. So we have to be very concerned in this regard. First of all, these gopis, they are speaking, they are comparing, they are seeing this deer and they are saying, what they are saying, that we may, when we die in this life, the next time we may take birth as this deer, because these deer are so fortunate. And then next moment they are saying, oh, we will not be able to become even deer because we don't have that kind of stupidity. So it's very difficult for us to become deer. So then they think that, but at the same time, the thoughts are arising in their heart that they should become this deer. So the thoughts, which the desires or the feelings which gopis have in their heart can never be futile. They never become useless, because it's said that even sadhakas, when their desires become gradually strong, strengthened, then it fulfills. So what to say of gopis? So all this arrangement is being made by Yogamaya there. And Yogamaya fulfills all the desires of the gopis. All these movements have been fulfilled also.